Right, well, you know, we're going to do things slightly differently today, inevitably. And so, you know, I am going to bring you God's word, but we are going to do different things throughout. Today is our first Sunday back since the 15th of March. The 15th of March was the last Sunday that we all met together, so we spent 19 Sundays apart. That's 4.5 months. And even though we've gathered together virtually every week, it's been difficult, you know, for all of us, and different to our usual gatherings. And today it's different to our usual gatherings because we've got to be socially distant, we can't sing as a congregation, we've got to bring our own consumables, that's how the government put it, you know, our own bread and juice, so that we can share communion together. And so it doesn't quite feel like it used to. And maybe you feel a bit upset about that. Maybe you feel quite annoyed, quite angry about it. Maybe, you know, we feel a bit nervous about being here. But we've got to learn how to be God's people in these strange times and to find our way together as we seek to discover, you know, how to worship and serve God now. And that's the same challenge that God's people have always had. It's just perhaps wrapped up in different packaging at the moment. You know, over the past weeks, we've wrestled with technology. We felt frustrated by the time lags in singing, you know, so what you've heard me singing, you've only heard it like what feels 3 hours later. Not being able to participate fully with each other, and we've longed to be together again in person. But sometimes, you know, I find that when you've looked forward to something, when you actually get it, it can be a bit of an anticlimax. You know, it's like when you've planned for that holiday for the whole year and you get there and it rains the entire week that you're on holiday and you sort of think, that's not quite what I anticipated. Or you've planned for a special birthday meal and then the food turns out to be not very nice. And you sort of think, you know, not quite what I wanted. And maybe you might feel a little bit like that today. You know, maybe you feel frustrated by all the different government pronouncements and the advice. I don't know if you're like me, you never want to hear this word again, ever, and that's unprecedented, yeah? I never, ever want to hear that something is unprecedented again, because I'm fed up of hearing that word. And when I first read the government guidance about reopening places of worship, I was quite disappointed. I was quite frustrated. I was even quite angry about the restrictions, because a lot of what has been said seems to me to be based on quite tenuous foundations. And it's felt a bit like walking a tightrope quite high up, you know, these past few weeks and months. And then on Friday, of course, the Prime Minister made more announcements that affect us, that meant I'd got to rewrite everything and make new signs. And it was sort of like, oh, really? Do I have to keep doing this? And I talked with different ministers from our local churches and from further afield. And I found that even more confusing, to be honest, because some were keen to get back to services as soon as possible. And they seemed really relaxed about everything. Others were sort of warier about meeting together, because they felt it was too soon, that it was dangerous to meet together. And others felt that, you know, it just wasn't worth it. They might as well carry on doing online services because of everything. And so I felt like I was just walking through quicksand, you know, getting muddier and muddier all the time. And in the end, we just had to really, you know, say, what's the really important elements when we gather together as God's people? What do we need to do to be the people of God? It's like sorting the wheat from the chaff, isn't it? And ultimately, we reached the conclusion that, you know, we want our gatherings to honour God. We want them to glorify God. We want to build people up in faith and to encourage faith when we come together. And we're not just meeting together to meet each other for the social aspect of it, even though that is hugely important. We're meeting together in person specifically because God commands us to do that. That ultimately is the bottom line for us as Christians. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. One minister said to me when I was talking about, you know, restarting services, there's real spiritual power when we meet together in God's name. And that is true. I really believe that. There's power in our gathering together because we're obeying God. And obedience brings its own rewards. And we do believe that each day is bringing us that one day closer to when Jesus comes again. Yeah, we're looking forward to that great and glorious day when our Lord Jesus returns. And we believe that Jesus will come again in power. And this world will not just carry on as it has done for the past 2,000 years since his death and resurrection. Peter said that people have always been saying, where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But we do believe as Christians that we're living in those last days as we wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to be ready for his return. We want to be ready, we want to be waiting, and we want to be faithful, full of faith when he comes again. And recent months have concentrated people's minds on eternal issues, on life and death. And, you know, when we meet together, we're being obedient to God and we're building ourselves up so that we can fulfill our God-given work to be his witnesses wherever we go. And secondly, there's power when we come together because he's here. God is here in our midst. Matthew 18, verse 20 says, where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. So every time we gather together as God's people, in Jesus' name, there's power because Jesus is here and Jesus is powerful. Yeah? Gary said recently when he was talking about the Sabbath, when we come together with hope and with expectation, we can expect God to meet with people. We can expect God to meet with us in power, to speak to us, to convict us, to encourage us, and to instruct us. And again, we've been studying in our Bible studies the book of Acts. And there we see the bottom line of what gathering together meant. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says that the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And those have been the key elements that we've tried to retain in online services, and we want those elements still to be important when we gather together. You know, our gathering together usually focuses on worship, often through singing, on prayer, on teaching from the Bible, and on the breaking of bread. And fellowship is important as well. That's why we want you to talk to each other and to spend time building each other up. Now, the restrictions that have been put on us limit two of those things, congregational singing and having refreshments together, as well as, you know, the fact that we've got to bring our own things for communion rather than sharing all together. But ultimately, you know, I think we've got to gather together because we're commanded to do so and God promises to be with us when we do. And for that, we can worship, you know, and we can glorify God through everything that we do. I really want us to be able to sing together, and I'm praying that regulations will soon change. But what I did really feel as I was sort of thinking about this was that it was easy for us to focus on everything we can't do, but what we really need to focus on is what we can do. We've got to learn to change and to adapt, but we've also got to learn to retain and to keep everything that's fundamental for our faith and for spiritual growth. You know, changing is not necessarily easy for any of us. I don't find it easy to change. I don't find it easy to adapt. Those first few weeks in lockdown, when we'd finished a service that might have only lasted half an hour for the rest of you, I felt like crying. You know, it felt like I'd been wrestling for hours with technology, and it felt like I'd seen your faces, but I couldn't see you. I couldn't reach out and touch you. And it was really difficult. I don't like change. But we've got to get used to change because God is always doing new things. He says in Isaiah 43, verse 19, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So as we look at, you know, what we're going to be doing this morning, the first thing I want us to think about is worship. And, you know, we really have to define what we mean by worship, because so often we think about it and we think, oh, that just means singing a song. We can't do that, so we can't worship. Well, that's why Gary chose that song particularly at the start, because worship is about much more than the songs that we bring. Worship is centering our minds' attentions and our hearts' affections on the Lord, said Bruce Leafblad. And Marva J. Dawn said, our worship services need to immerse us in God's splendour. You know, we do that in many ways, through readings from the Bible, through singing, but however we do it, you know, the key elements to worship is that God is glorified. God is honoured. He's at the centre of everything that we're doing. Worship is kindled within us when God's Spirit touches our human spirit. And we come to speak our praise and our thanksgiving to the God who matters to us more than anything. And how we do that is really up to us. Yeah? Gathering together has to make room for God to speak to us. It's got to be for us to speak to God, for God to speak to us. You know, and we can do that in lots of different ways, through music, through silence, through preaching, through the gifts of the Spirit, through the reading of His words, through our words as God speaks through His people. And He can do that as we just live our ordinary lives as well. Worship is about our everyday, ordinary lives. And we're going to do different things in this service. We're going to be praying aloud. There'll be opportunity to do that in a little while. We're going to do it through testimonies, telling each other of the ways that God has blessed us and led us and helped us and provided for us and kept us safe. We are so glad that we're all back together again here today. And we can express our thanksgiving as we take the bread and the wine and remember Jesus' death and resurrection. But the thing that I really felt, you know, when I was sort of talking to God and saying, well, how can we worship you without singing? Because you know me, I adore singing. It's one of the biggest helps to me in worship that there is. And I was led to a very strange passage talking about this wave offering. And the passage is Exodus 29, verses 23 to 26. Now, in the Old Testament, as you probably know, there were worship was expressed through different kinds of sacrificial offerings to God. There was a sin offering, and you had to kill the lamb and offer that lamb to God. And one of the offerings that there was the wave offering, where the Israelites would give these offerings as a show of peace and as a way of committing themselves to God. And after preparing the sacrifice, the priests literally waved the offering over the sacrificial altar. So in Exodus 29, verses 23 to 26, it says, from the basket of bread made without yeast, which is before the Lord, take one round loaf, one thick loaf with olive oil mixed in, and one thin loaf. Put all of these in the hands of Aaron and his sons, and have them wave them before the Lord as a wave offering. Then take from their hands and burn them on the altar, along with the burnt offering, for a pleasing aroma to the Lord, a food offering presented to the Lord. After you take the breast of the ram for Aaron's ordination, wave it before the Lord as a wave offering, and it will be your share. There was another passage in Leviticus 7 that talks about wave offerings, again with the animals and loaves of bread. And then in Exodus 25, verses 20 to 29, we see God's people bringing a wave offering for the work that had been done on the tent that they were building as their meeting place. And it says, all who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewellery of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings and ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Everyone who had blue, purple or scarlet yarn or fine linen or goat hair, ram skins dyed red or the other durable leather brought them. And those presenting an offering of silver or bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord. And everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. So they were bringing all this stuff and then they were waving it before God to say thank you for everything that he'd done to them. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems pretty weird to me, doesn't it? You know, waving a loaf of bread, waving an animal, waving your brooches and your earrings, you know. It seems pretty weird to me, but it's a principle that, you know, worship to God involves everything that we've got, everything that we are, and we offer it to him, yeah? And Paul says that in Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. He's still looking for worshippers, and he's still looking for sacrifices, but they're not the same kind of sacrifices that there were in the Old Testament, because Jesus has paid that ultimate sacrifice. But he's still looking for us to offer ourselves, our whole lives, to him as a living sacrifice. So I thought, well, how can we do that then? What can we do? And so I thought we'd offer a wave offering today, which is why we've got these balloons. Balloons that say, praise the Lord, or Jesus is the light of the world. And flags that say, worship Jesus, the King. Okay. Now, there's nothing special about the balloons. You can take the balloons home if you want to, especially the kids. Please leave the flags, because I need them for tonight's service. And I haven't got as many flags as I've got balloons. But, you know, there's nothing special about them. But there never was anything special about these loaves of bread and these animals and the gold and everything that people brought. What matters is that a wave offering is freely given by people who love God and who want to serve him. And they don't mind doing that in ways that look pretty crazy to anybody else. Because if that's what God said, well, why not? And God often says pretty crazy things. You know, it's pretty crazy to walk around the walls of a city and shout and play a trumpet and expect the walls to come down, but that's what happened at Jericho. You know, God does ask us at times to do pretty stupid things. So if Stephen would like to come to the piano, he's going to play We Want to See Jesus Lifted High. He's going to sing it, because you are allowed to have one person leading worship that can sing, you know. So he's going to sing We Want to See Jesus Lifted High. And if you can stand up, please stand up. With your balloons, with your flags, and wave them like mad. And if you can't, you can sit down and still wave them. Yeah? You know, I've got to try and get my balloon. And we're going to wave our balloons and our flags to God. Yeah? We're saying, here we are, God. We're still here. God's people are still here. We're still lifting your name high. No matter what's happened, we're going to still worship you. And if we can't sing it, we'll do it in another way. We will just worship God because we're crazy about God. We love God so much. I better make sure Facebook can see my balloon. Here you are. Jesus, light of the world. Okay, thanks, Stephen.